The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
My name is Ricky Williams. I will be the moderator for the show. Our hosts joining me today are Marilyn Bradford and Tamara Yonker. How are you guys doing today?
Great, Ricky. Just
good.
Super.
Beautiful day here in Colorado.
Yeah, so we've got an interesting show today. Today's show is, have you decided this reality is the best there is? Okay. So do you give in to other people's points of view? It was destiny or it was meant to be. Do those actually ring true for you? What about, I'm never going to find a job because of the economy, or I don't have an advanced degree, so no one will read my book. What if none of that were true, or any other of other people's point of views that you're buying into? What if you don't have to relinquish your capacity as the creator of your life in order to have the life you truly desire? What if there is so much more for you beyond the confines of limitations of this reality? So today we're going to talk about creation from a totally different space, one that includes vulnerability, ease, joy, gratitude, and most importantly, one that includes you. So before the show, we were briefly talking about this reality. I mean, as Access Consciousness facilitators, one of the terms we use a lot while facilitating classes or talking to people is this reality, this reality, this reality. So Marilyn, would you like to talk a little bit about this reality?
Yeah, thanks, Ricky. You know, it took me a really long time to get a sense of that, because when people said this reality, I thought it included everything, like, you know, the plants and the flowers and the earth and the stars, as well as all the people and everything that they were doing. And what the thing that really first helped me to get a better sense of it was seeing that, no, the plants and the stars and all of that, they don't function from this reality. This reality, for the way I really get it, is about all of these ways you're supposed to be and think and do. It's about using your mind rather than knowing. It's about things like, you know, we used to talk about it, where do you fit? Okay, where do I fit in here? Let's see, I'm making this much money, so this is my social class, and I'm this race, so this means this. And you know, where do you benefit? Okay, how am I going to get my goodies? And where do you win and lose? And it's like, this reality is really unnatural, I guess is the best, one of the words that comes up. But the thing for me that I really finally really, really, really got about this reality that's so destructive is that there is nothing in this reality that actually supports the truth of who you be. If anything, there's a lot, it's about doing, but it's never about, so truth, who are you beyond all of these roles and beyond the judgments? And so, and I just wanted to say one more thing, and I'm covering a lot of topics, but another thing we were talking about is I grew up in a East Coast academic family that was very, in an East Coast academic town that was very obsessed with itself as, you know, very intellectual. In fact, Einstein was there at the time. And they thought they had a different reality, because they were all, you know, in theories and in their minds and this and that, and, you know, as opposed to people who were down there in their emotions and stuff. But it really isn't a different reality. As long as you're stuck in your head, you're stuck in this reality, and you can't actually know what you know and step into being all of who you are. So I feel like I babbled a bit, but that's okay. I babbled.
One of the things you said, Marilyn, really rings true for me when I'm facilitating classes. It's kind of everywhere we have been infected with should. Like, it's difficult to be you if you're constantly navigating your way through the shoulds in your own head, or the shoulds that are coming at you from your outer environment. Like, all the must-dos, the have-tos, the supposed-tos, the shoulds. It excludes you. It excludes you as a being when you're constantly going, oh, I should do this and I shouldn't do that, and I'm supposed to do this and not that. I mean, so for me, it's everything that we've been, we've adopted from what are generally, it's the first caretakers, our family members. They think that they're going to give us all the information that they have accumulated through the course of their life, because they want to pass on how you're going to be able to get it right, how you're going to be able to survive and be successful and avoid being, you know, hurt. Or so they teach you all this stuff right off the bat, and we just adopt it because we don't know that there's any different way or that there's any different way of functioning. So the more that you adopt all those shoulds and the supposed tos and the have tos and the must tos, the more that we adopt those, the more we're actually excluding us from the equation of our own life.
Yeah.
Wow, it's interesting. So, you know, our show title, the header for all the shows, is The Value of Controversy. And, you know, for me, this topic is really cuts to the root of the value of controversy. And what I found in my life, like, I kind of fall into this reality as the best there is, and really as the only choice there is when I'm not willing to be controversial. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the need to be controversial or the need to be rebellious, but it's the willingness to ask a question. And, it, you know, in this reality, what we're taught, you know, like Tamara said, from a young age, what we're taught is how to get it right. And that's kind of what locks us into this reality as our only choice. When we make getting something right or fitting in our number one priority, we really don't allow ourselves any other choice. And so, you know, the target for this show today is first to give you an awareness of the energy of this reality and kind of what it is we're referring to when we talk about this reality. And if we can get to that, we can talk about what else is possible. And if this reality isn't our best choice or isn't our only choice, what are the other choices that we have available to us?
I love to tell people, Ricky, when I'm facilitating my classes, one of the very first things that I start off foundation with is that I let them know that I'm part of what is fun for me, part of what is my, you know, job as a facilitator that I take on, is I say it's to expose, if you will, all the secrets of this reality that keep you living as if you don't have a choice, keep you living as if you're at the effect of it, subject to it, and all of the shoulds and all of the rules and all of the ways you're supposed to be trying really hard to get it right. So that's kind of what I look at today's show about too, is just exposing that so that you can see that there is in fact a different choice, and you don't have to only choose off the menu of what you've adopted as real, true, or possible.
Well, and one of the things that you said, Ricky, that really struck me was asking a question. That in and of itself is controversial and is very far outside of this reality. This reality is based on answer. You know, we use the example in our write-up of, well, I can't get a job because the economy is bad. That's an answer. Rather than, say, the people during the Depression who went, everybody else is like poor and not having any money, I wonder how I could make money here. And there are numbers of people who made enormous amounts of money during the Depression because they were actually willing to function outside of this reality and ask a question. And that is so crucial, to not take anything at face value as to what is, so that you have to be the effect of it. That's been a huge thing for me. And I'll find myself going, well, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just went to a conclusion. What if I asked a question instead? Is that really true? Does that really apply to me? Can I do something different here? Can I move beyond this? So that question is just really a crucial element, I think.
It is. And, you know, and for me, it's like I see all the ways that myself and I see a lot of other people doing it is we actually have a dis-ease or an uncomfort with question. It's like even when we do ask a quote-unquote question, usually we'll only ask the question that we already know the answer to.
And right, which isn't really a question.
Which isn't really a question. And for me, like when I started to have more ease with that this place of where I'm not clear about something and I have ease with not being clear, I found that's the start for me to have the awareness, to have the perception, and to have the knowing that I'm actually looking for. And what I find with people is when they get to this place where they're not clear, they kind of go into this reaction to not being clear. And it's really cool when you start to have more ease with the energy of question, how things can start to change and show up in your life in ways that you never could even imagine.
Yeah. Because when we don't ask a question, we actually lock ourselves down into a very limited space.
Well, and things will tend to stay the same. I know for me, without asking questions, pretty much nothing ever changes. And sometimes it's just simply making a request of, like, I'd like to have more of this in my life. I remember a couple of years ago, I attended a level 2 and 3 in here in Colorado with Gary, and Dane was offering one of his energetic synthesis of being evening taster classes. And I have been to probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 of those, including a couple of the 3.5-day classes. And he's up there working on someone on the table in the front of the room, and I'm watching the interaction, and I'm perceiving the energy. And I remember just, you know, like the most fleeting of thoughts, like, I want more of that. And I didn't even have to know cognitively what that was. I just knew that energy that I was perceiving, I wanted more of it, and I wanted to embody more of it. So I made the request, and then it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, show me, what's it going to take to have more of that? And just being willing to ask questions and have absolutely no idea whatsoever about what was going to show up in my life, what was going to be presented, to allow me to choose to be and embody and have more of that in my life.
Well, and it's got a really practical side, too. I was at the airport flying to New York last Thursday, and 6 o'clock flight, but gotten there early and to Chicago, and they were saying, okay, it's going to be delayed. And I said, okay, so what do I need to do here? What's right about this? Where do I go? And I just started opening up, and I went up to the people, and I'm like, okay, so can you put me on another flight? And they're going, well, no, everything's locked down. We can't get you on. And I'm like, okay, so what else? I asked, what else is possible here? How else could I go? What? And I was asking some of it out loud and some of it to myself. And the other person working at the United counter said, oh, wait a minute. One spot opened up. We can reroute you through Houston. And it was so light. I said, I'll take that. But it was just because I was willing to ask the question, and I looked at it to it later. I mean, people were stuck for hours. None of the flights were going around. You know, everything was canceled. But because I was willing to ask and be open and not go to the conclusion of, oh, this is just the way it is. I'll just, you know, be the effect of the airlines and the weather and the traffic control. Everything shifted. And I was able to get to New York only 2 hours late, you know, which was fine. I have plenty of time. But it was all from asking questions and not assuming that what they told me was the end point.
Yeah. And I think that it's so much, too, about whether you're functioning from your mind or not. You know, like, do I have to have all the, as Ricky said, you know, sometimes before you even ask the question, you already have it all figured out, or you've already got the answer, or, you know, the conclusions and the decisions and the judgments are products of our mind. Those all live within the confines of our mind. So in order to actually, for me anyway, when I discovered to create something beyond the confines of my mind, or to create something beyond what my mind already knew, or to be open to receiving a possibility beyond what my mind could figure out.
Yeah.
I had to be willing to live in that question and open up to a space of greater possibility than the very tiny confines of my own mind.
Which is a
great
example.
And the confines of everybody else's minds, too.
True.
We forget that we pick up all these thoughts, feelings, and emotions from everybody else, think that they're ours, and that creates this huge limitation. It's almost like, you know those snow globes that, I don't know, maybe they don't have them anymore. But when I was growing up, they had these little, they came out mostly at Christmas, and they'd be these little wintry scenes, like this little house or Santa Claus or a snowman, and it was all contained within this glass globe, and you'd shake it, and it would look like it was snowing, and that was, oh, look, it changed, the weather changed. But sometimes that's how I think about this reality. It's like a snow globe, and we think we have freedom within it, but we really only have the choice of whether it's going to snow or not snow. Or, you know, and it's like no one sees that they can step out and be in the store and be way beyond this little tiny snow globe, if that makes any sense to anybody. Those of you who are a little bit older will probably get that one.
Well,
that's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, I'm a little bit younger than you are, and I get it. I mean, I remember being at my grandma's house. There were snow globes, and I had an uncle who traveled a lot, and whenever he traveled, he would always bring back a snow globe. So we actually have a caller. So we're ready to take the caller, Glenda.
Okay. Hi. I have a question that fits with this subject. I had a stroke in my brainstem about 2.5 years ago, and about 6 months after that is the first time I heard of excess. And I was listening to someone talk about working with somebody that had cancer, and he asked, you know, what were the benefits of that? And I thought, oh, for myself, what were the benefits of my stroke? What a weird question, but it worked because I could list off the benefits. How weird is that? So,
cool.
2 years, I have worked on my recovery, and I've been really attracted to, you know, processes for the body and health and energy. And a couple months ago, I started to like, okay, now I want to create my life because there's now kind of a blank slate now and money and all that. And then about a month ago, I was listening to something, and she had a realization something was going on, and other people involved thought this was terrible and a problem. And she was like, why is, you know, what's right about this? Or what is happening? Why, you know, her life need to change? And she accepted what was happening. And so I'd heard this before, like maybe I created the stroke. So I started to wonder, okay, maybe I created this. And at first, you know, for a couple of days, I was like, wow, that's awesome. That is powerful. And then I felt a lot of panic, like, oh my God, you know, this is not so great. Did I create this? I don't know. So now I'm at the point, I've kind of been working with that, and now my question is, what now? You know, I now have this life that I have somewhat of a blank slate, but I can just focus on the limitations, you know, the lack of money and health and energy, and I can't switch out of that. You know, and so when you talk about what's possible or beyond this, there's a way that's kind of scary to me, and also that's exciting. The thought of that is exciting to me. So my question is, what now? How do I think about what's next? So
that is a wonderful question, and we will start talking about it after this break. So thank you, Glenda, for calling in, and we'll be right back with you.
world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you a moment about hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, one of the most judgeable offenses on planet Earth. Ever notice? How often do you allow yourself to choose something for the pure pleasure and joy of it, without judgment? How often do you choose to live your life from the adventure of what could show up, rather than the conclusion of what you or someone else decided it should be? What if every day you could wake up and ask, if I were truly living today, what would I choose right away? Join me for a 6-part teleclass series called 69 Shades of Hedonism. We'll unwrap the beauty and adventure of hedonistic living together. Are you ready to play? Oh, and a warning, if you'd rather feel dry and brittle rather than abundant and juicy and joyful, you should definitely refrain from signing up for this particular series. Participants may experience an increased level of pleasure in all areas of life. Are you willing to risk that? If so, go to drdanehere.com/teleclasses, drdanehere.com/teleclasses, and find out more. See you there. Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Ricky Williams, along with Marilyn Bradford and Tamara Yonker, and we're talking about, have you decided this reality is the best there is? And really, have you decided that this reality is all that there is, and the only thing you have available to you? And before we took our break, we had a caller, Glenda, and she was talking to us about some really cool awarenesses and changes that she's created in her life. And before we left off, she asked a question. She asked, oh, what else is possible, which is one of my favorite questions. And she asked about some awareness about how to think about things, and which is a great segue into what we'd like to talk about today in this, with this topic of, have you decided this reality is the best there is? So this reality basically functions from our mind as the source of pretty much everything. And when I talk about the mind, I'm really talking about thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So before the show, one of the things that came up is we talked about how controversial that is, because it's one of the first things we talk about when we're facilitating classes. We talk about thoughts, feelings, and emotions actually being the lower harmonic of what we have available to us, which is perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving. And Tamara, would you like to talk more about this?
Sure, Ricky. I was sharing with Ricky and Marilyn how I had actually been in Access. I'd been taking Access classes for 4 months before a facilitator at the time had invited me to the awareness that thinking is actually not required. And I remember sitting there. We were at lunch, and I sat looking at her, open mouth agape, because I was like, "What did you just say? What do you mean?" And we proceeded to have this conversation where she explained to me, and I'll ask people in my classes right off the bat. I'll say, "Well, if you know, if you have awareness of something, would you need to think?" And instinctively, almost, they'll say no. But then when I speak to them about what it is to function from what we in Access call awareness as opposed to thinking, it throws people into kind of a deer in the headlights, like, what do you mean? And I know for me it was very much like that, because I had used my mind growing up in a world that didn't make sense to me. I mean, I looked around and I saw a lot of brutality and criticism and judgment and hypocrisy and all these things that I couldn't make any sense of at all. And I remember just thinking, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me. And so I found myself relying on my mind for the very thing that created the limitation in my life. The mind, you know, grabbed onto the conclusions, and it grabbed onto the judgment, and it grabbed onto the things I was talking about before, the shoulds, the must-dos, the have-tos, the supposed-tos. Everywhere I was given information to get it right and not be wrong and to kind of just manage this affect position that everyone believes themselves to be in to the best that my parents had taught me. And so that was functioning entirely from the mind. And then here I was, 4 months into Access, and someone was saying, oh, that's not required. You don't need your mind. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? It was literally my survival mechanism. I thought, how in the world can I possibly function if I'm not using my mind? And so I made it my target at that time to discover what that was. And we are taught that thoughts, feelings, and emotions are what's real, what's true. And I've become very aware of the density of those energies. And I know not everybody is, you know, familiar with playing with energy. I've been working with energy and have been doing energy work for about 15 years. So I was familiar with energy when I came to Access. And when I was invited to look at the energy of thoughts, feelings, and emotions, I was like, yep, sure enough, that's true. That's at least from my perception and my awareness. Those energies were denser than what Access was inviting me to begin to look at functioning from, which were not thoughts, feelings, emotions, but perceiving and knowing and being and receiving. And we speak of that as the higher harmonic of thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and it really is an entirely different way of functioning in the world from energies that are light, from energies that don't have that same density of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So sometimes it takes a little while to sort of recalibrate yourself from what you've made so very real. If you're told that what's real is what's dense, thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and the density of that, and then you're invited to play in an arena that is much more spacious, much more light, it takes a little bit to sort of recalibrate yourself, reorient yourself to that which is light and that which is space.
Well, and you bring up a great thing about space, Tamara, because one of the things that our caller was saying is that she said, well, I have this blank slate now. You know, what do I do? How do I think about this? And this reality, everything is supposed to be filled in. It's really like a paint-by-numbers reality. You know, you paint this red, you paint this blue, and then you'll get it right. And we're actually, as beings, as infinite beings, we're actually space. We're not a whole bunch of crowded stuff, and it can be a little daunting at first. And what there's another great tool we have in Access that I love, which is like choosing in 10-second increments. And when you find yourself in that blank slate, that space, you can practice choosing. Okay, you don't have to plan out your life for the rest of the, you know, even the rest of the day. You can just go, okay, so what would I like to choose now? What would be expansive for me to choose now? Oh, I think I'll get up from the couch. Okay, that was 10 seconds. Now what would I like to choose? I think I'll put on a kettle for tea. Okay. And as you begin to choose, and you actually, that's a muscle. We think we know how to choose, but we don't. Because the choices are, well, you know, you can have chocolate or vanilla and that's it. That's not really a choice. If you could have any flavor in the world that you could imagine, and beyond even anything you could imagine, that might begin to verge on choice. But so just learning how to, practicing choosing, and you will get to know you. That's the other cool thing about it for me. Every time I really practice that, and it is a muscle, I get to know me better. What would I like? What would be expansive here? And it's only good for 10 seconds. You know, this reality tells us we should plan everything out and think about it and analyze it. But like you were saying, Tamara, the mind is really not required. If you're willing to ask the questions to choose, and if you're willing to function from perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving, it creates a totally different possibility. And that's really, for me, a lot of what Moving Beyond This Reality is about, is real possibility. And the willingness to not have to know, in the sense of cognitively knowing, what everything's going to look like.
Yeah, and I had to personally shift what I was talking about to start paying attention to what was light, to that which was light. I had never paid any attention to anything that was light before. My life was lived in the heaviness of the dense energies my whole life. I mean, I've joked before on this show where I was sort of the walking, talking Eeyore. So my whole life was very much about the density of heaviness, which was what was real and true for me. So I had to be willing. That was my first step, really, was to be willing to say, okay, well, what if there's more than just this heaviness and this density that I'm accustomed to? And be willing to start taking notice of what was light and starting actually trusting what was light and starting actually following and choosing based on what was light. And I had to be willing to do that and practice and play with it and do a little bit of my own research and see what happened. And the more that I did that, the more ease showed up in my life and the more things would not happen necessarily, but get created in a way that I couldn't have imagined, because my mind had to function from a place of linear and logical and rational and making sense. And when I started trusting the lightness of the energy, then lots of times what I was choosing didn't make sense at all and turned out better than anything my mind could have figured out if I had tried it from the old logical, reasonable, rational, you know, linear, make sense way.
So it's interesting what you said, Tamara, and it's so true. It's like in this reality functions very much around density and intensity. And it's like if it's dense and intense, then we know it's real and we know what to do with it. But if it's light, you know, a lot of the times we go straight to doubt, like, oh, this can't be real because it's light. And I remember before I started doing Access, I was driving in my car one day and I started to be aware of energy. And I was like, wow, these are some really cool energies that I'm aware of, but they're really kind of crazy. There's no way they could possibly be true. And so this occurred for about a week. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm just going to do my own experiment and do my own research and see like what's up with this. And so I started to follow these awarenesses, these energies. And what I found is 100% of them turned out to be true. And if I would have stayed in that place that I had functioned from before where I doubted what I was aware of because it wasn't heavy, it wasn't dense, and it wasn't intense, then I wouldn't have been able to have these awarenesses. And so about 2 months after this, I ended up in an Access class. And it was really interesting to hear what I had just discovered, that when you're willing to follow what's light and you're willing to be aware of what's light, you actually you allow yourself to be aware of so much more than what we've been taught we can be aware of. So everywhere that you have the need to defend everything you've been taught, rather than allowing yourself to perceive, know, be, and receive beyond everything you've been taught? Can we destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes.
Okay, good. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. And it's, I mean, one of the things that I got, you know, watching myself as a parent and watching other parents, it's like the energy of this reality is very similar to the way that we're raised by our parents and the way that we raise ourselves, really. And it's this point of view where our parents lie to us in order to control us more easily. And so as we become adults, we start to lie to ourselves in order to control ourselves more easily. And what I get about this reality is a lot of this reality is built on the lie that thoughts, feelings, and emotions are the source of anything except for limitation, and that they're the source of creating our lives as a better polarized reality rather than creating beyond this reality where you get to have everything you would like, and it can even be easy, as opposed to this reality where it's about the density and intensity of the struggle and the difficulty and fighting to have everything you'd like to have. And this is another example. I mean, for a lot of people listening, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first time that you've heard any of this. I know when I was first exposed to Access, it was the first time that I really heard anyone talk about these things out loud. A lot of these things I had been aware of, but I had never heard anyone talk about it. And it's like to hear someone actually talk about these things and discuss them in a way that made so much sense to me, it was such an invitation, and I felt, for the first time in my life, I was given the permission to be me. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is we talk about creating, you know? And so what we're talking about is creating your life and your reality from a totally different space. And what we've been taught prior is how to create a life, right? When we talk about how to create a life, and this is what everyone is looking for, creating a life means you're born, and then you go to school, and then you go to college, or not, and then you have kids and a dog and a white picket fence, and then you work your butt off, and then you retire with some money, and then you die. And for me, when I was a kid, I got, wow, that doesn't seem like very much fun. There's gotta be something greater than that. And what I love about these tools, it's the first time someone has started to really give me tools to start to create my life, my living, my reality, something that is fun, something that actually works for me, and something that I don't ever want to leave. But, you know, to me, I'm creating a life where I'd like to be here and enjoy myself as long as I would like to. And then when I'm ready to do something different, I can choose something different.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, for me anyway, that I, in the same way that you just described, here's life. You know, you went through the step-by-step-by-step-by-step. Like, that's the step-by-step that pretty much everyone gets when they show up on the planet. And so I bought that completely. And, you know, went to school, went to college, went out and got my first job. And I was just talking to a friend about my first job out of college last night, as a matter of fact. And I often call it the grand disillusionment. Because, you know, you're fed this idea of what life is going to be like from a very young age. And so I'm just doing what I was told. Okay, this is what I do. And the first job I had out of college turned out to be not at all what I was told it was going to be. So it left me reeling. I would think I was 21 years old, and it left me completely reeling, going, well, if this isn't the way, if it isn't actually the way I've been told from the time I was a very young child, well, then what is it? Then what do I do now? What do I do next? And I think that was the very first time that I started looking for what else is possible. I didn't have that language at the time, but I was like, well, I'm not, it kind of shocked me a little bit. It broke the spell a little bit because I realized that already, if it wasn't turning out the way I was told, you know, if you follow the step by step, it'll turn out and you'll be happy. And I was like, well, it's already not turning out. So then I had fast forward a bunch of years, 20 years later, and I go through a divorce. And again, it was sort of like the grand disillusionment because it was, you know, I had bought into this idea that if you get you know, you do all the right things and you find the right person and you get married and you live happily ever after. And then I ended up with divorce and I was like, okay, nothing is turning out, you know, the way that I was told it was going to turn out if I did all the right steps and did all the right things. So oftentimes that's where people will start looking for what else is possible, or they'll start going, well, there must be more than this, because they go through, you know, these events that are what I like to call the grand disillusionments, and they realize you can follow all the steps and that doesn't mean it's going to turn out right.
Yes, that is so true. So,
yeah.
And this is what we've been taught, right? So everywhere you have the need to defend everything you've ever been taught, rather than allowing yourself to perceive, know, be, and receive beyond everything you've been taught, can we destroy and uncreate all that, please?
Yes, please.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Okay, so now it's time for our second break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
So welcome back. And I'm Ricky Williams with Marilyn Bradford and Tamara Yonker. And we're talking about today, have you decided this reality is the best there is, or the only choice there is? And one of the things, you know, we were talking at break, and one of the things that we've all experienced, and I'm sure our callers have too, is disillusionment, or being disappointed when you find out that things aren't exactly the way that you thought they were supposed to be. And Marilyn had shared with us a good example, and would you like to share that with our listeners, Marilyn?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't remember how old I was. I think I was in my teens, but early teens. And I realized that the justice system wasn't about justice. It really was not about, the courts and the lawyers were really not concerned with who was actually innocent and that justice was served. And I was just floored and flabbergasted. For some reason, that particular awareness and disillusionment started to unravel a lot of my, I guess what I would have called faith in this reality, or I could trust it, like you were talking about, Tamara, that, you know, if I follow these steps, it will work out. And I had a very similar, you know, I got divorced and all. And, but what I also noticed was, instead of saying, oh, this reality doesn't work, I went to, oh, I must be wrong. If I'd just done it differently, my marriage would have worked. So instead of actually seeing what was, I went totally to the wrongness of me. And one of the things that I, other things that I do is I work a lot with addiction. And what I found is that that's actually the core of what creates this place for addiction to begin to show up, are people going to the wrongness of them. And then it's presented as if you're, quote, an addict, there's lots of misinformation and lies that this reality says, oh, it's a disease, you have to have it forever, you have to have an identity, you can't ever get beyond it. And none of that is true. But the other thing I find about this reality is it's so easy for us, we're taught to believe the experts. If somebody says something like, well, it's a disease and you're going to be an addict forever, we, and I certainly went, I went, oh, okay, I guess that's the way it is. You were talking about Eeyore earlier. You know, I totally did that until I began to ask questions and go, wait a minute, this is, I'm not wrong, this is insane. And I think that's a space we get to of kind of, maybe I'm not wrong and maybe this is all just nuts. And then, you know, sort of what could, where could we go beyond this? What else is possible beyond this?
That's true, Marilyn. I mean, I had the exact same experience when I was sharing before the break about, you know, the, what I call the grand disillusionment of my first job out of college, and then again, you know, when I got divorced. And both of those times, I did exactly that. I said, well, you know, if everybody else seems to be following the rules of this reality and everybody else seems to be able to do it okay, what's wrong with me that I can't make it work? Or what's wrong with me that I can't follow the rules as well as other people? And both of those times, it sent me into a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a lot of people who experienced the same thing, where if you're trying your hardest and you've tried over and over and over to do everything that everyone tells you is the right thing to do, and just can't seem to get it right, it sends us right into the must be me. I must be what's wrong in this equation. It must be me. And it sends people a lot into a depression. And what if it's not you that's wrong? I mean, that was huge when I came to Access, was the first time that I had ever been asked the question, what if you're not wrong? What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if it's actually this reality that's insane and not you that's wrong or crazy? Or because I had bought into that. I mean, that was a big part of what contributed to me as the walking, talking Eeyore, because I was convinced that I was the thing that was wrong about my life, not that there was something about this reality that I had bought into that was limiting me and limiting what was possible for me to create as my life.
Yeah, and so one piece I'd like to add here for our listeners, we keep talking about this reality, and we touched on it briefly. So one of the things we talk about in Access is that your point of view creates your reality. Mm. Yeah, so your point of view creates your reality. And so this reality is basically all the collective points of view that everyone buys as if they are true and they are real. And so when we talk about this reality, it's this group of points of views kind of that everyone buys into. And they're usually the places where people refuse to ask a question because they don't want to stick out, or they haven't been told or haven't been shown that it's okay to be you, that it's okay to be different. And so now we have Susanna back on the line, and she'd like to contribute something to the conversation. So,
hi, guys. I'm here today. Hey. And there's a lot going on with awareness. And it's so funny talking about going on all around. Reality is not a happy. Here is separation. And what is experience you're having when you say prayer? So, and this is where it's about now, where you start, instead of expect what other people do, you're starting your, to start surf on the energies you're aware of, beauty. And I just, I'm ditched out and keep on talking.
Yeah, Susanna, I know you're saying some really amazing, brilliant things, but for some reason, it sounds like it's digitizing and we're not actually able to hear you.
No worries.
I did pick up one word, which was separating, and that's something we haven't talked about. But, yeah, this reality tells us that we're separate from everything. There's no sense of oneness, and there's no sense that you can have that awareness of the interconnected, the inner, whatever you want to call it, being both the drop of water and the ocean. And absolutely, because separation is a lie. And that actually creates, I think, like you were talking about, Tamara, you go to the, you start judgment. Judgment creates separation. And you, people get into depression just from that one thing of separating,
Yeah, and we actually become addicted to our separation.
Yeah, and what Susanna said was depression is the ultimate separation.
Yes.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Wow.
And you know, to me, it's really, like, so let's look at what I just shared in terms of that first experience where I'm making myself wrong because I couldn't figure out how to do it right based on the way this reality told me I should get it right. So I went right into making me wrong, which is judgment, which actually separated me not only from me, but me from sort of the rest of the world. And I went into a deep depression where the judgment just spiraled completely out of control. And that separation lasted a good couple of decades before I was able to thankfully come to access and discover that none of what I was attempting to create in terms of the separation that I perpetuated it, I just perpetuated that separation through judgment. It was really not a very fun way to live, and it's something that everyone on the planet gets sort of addicted to.
Yeah, and what I really love about Access and what I'm really enjoying about this topic and this call is because it's really what Access is all about. And so what our target in Access is starting to empower people with tools so that they can start to create their own reality, which will start to change this reality so it becomes more collaborative and there's more space that allows all of us to be us. And it's like, so I talked earlier about your point of view creates the reality. And another part of that, in order to create a reality, it only requires two or more people aligning and agreeing to a point of view. So what if consciousness, what if question, what if choice, possibility, and contribution were the source of creating this reality?
Creating beyond this reality, or?
No, creating this reality. So again, so it's the place where we allow ourselves to change. You know, like one of the things that's very prevalent in America is whatever is hot, whatever is cool is what's in, and that's what people are going to tend to choose. So what if question, choice, possibility, and contribution started to become what was cool?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
What would that be like?
Amazing, Ricky. How does it get better than that?
Yeah.
So I want to thank everyone for listening in on this call. This was really fun, and we would definitely like to know if this show created any questions for you, and to please let us know. You can contact us on Facebook at The Value of Controversy, and we have a page on Voice America where you can contact us also. So thank you, and we'll be back next week. Same bat place, same bat time, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week.